look at Zacchaeus was a person who was fascinated with payment. Fascinated. He was sort of like trying to hide from Jesus at the same time he was trying to see him, I think. He didn't necessarily want to be found by the Lord, I don't think. But the Lord had a purpose here. And you know, who is not fascinated by Jesus? There are so many people who are fascinated by the Lord. Even the persecutors of Jesus are fascinated by him. They don't like him. They hear his biography and they say they're very impressed by him. But people who persecute Christians hate what he has done to their neighbors and to their friends and family and their fellow citizens by taking them away from the political and the popular and the religious philosophies that they're trying to maintain and trying to keep alive by force and coercion. They can't let them stand on their own. Their faith will drop to the ground before the cross of Christ, so they have to use force. Well, they can't say anything against the life of Jesus, except, oh, he didn't exist. He didn't exist. That's so that they can eliminate the source of the problem. If nobody believes he existed, then they can overcome him in that way. But they can't really overcome his overpowering influence against those philosophies and those ideas because he shows up once in a while. He shows up in people's lives. The Jesus film, you've heard about the Jesus film. Sometimes when that film is being shown in those countries that have never heard the gospel before, the people looking at the video get healed. They actually get healed while Jesus is healing others on the video. They're getting healed by him in the group. And this is a testimony. This is a common. It's not like this, wow, this is a strange one. This happens all the time over in these countries. That's sort of a normal thing. There are some other ones that are not so normal miracles that happen around the Jesus film. But I think that's the prayers of God's people. Well, Jesus shows up. And when he shows up, or when the Holy Spirit comes crashing in to our little world, then we are confronted with a decision. Our will must make a choice. And we can either run away and hide, or we can welcome Jesus into our lives. And this we see in this story. C.S. Lewis, again, we quoted from him before about conversion. Here's what he says. Conversion requires an alteration of the will. And an alteration which, in the last resort, does not occur without the intervention of the supernatural. You see, it's not just you hear the word, but the Holy Spirit shows up. Or Jesus himself speaks the word as he did in Paul's life. He showed up in Paul's life. And Paul, that was Paul's conversion. Well, God knows where we're at. And he knows where we need to get to in our lives. That is what the story of Zacchaeus is about, and that's what the story of Zacchaeus' conversion is about. That God knew where Zacchaeus was at, and God knew where Zacchaeus needed to be. And he got him there, and that was his conversion. And this story of conversion, the story that I've entitled this, the conversion of Zacchaeus, is the story of a lot of conversions. It's like many other conversions, but it's also the story of our lives. How that we are in a state that needs to be converted. We are in a position that needs to still have some conversion done. God knows where we're at, and he wants to bring us to where we need to be in the Christian life. But let's look at this initial conversion of Zacchaeus. Where was he at? Well, first of all, he was in a very alienated state. He was in a lonely state. He was a chief tax collector. You know what that meant? It was the word tax collector was synonymous with an outcast. In fact, in Matthew 18, where Jesus is talking about discipline in the church, he says, if that person that needs discipline, if that person refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. In other words, an outcast. His name was synonymous, and what he was doing as a tax collector was synonymous in the Jewish mind with a pagan. Somebody that was an outcast. I don't want to have anything to do with that person. That's like a tax collector. Well,
not only did he have the reputation, the name of a tax collector, he had the reputation of one. Personally was known by these people as someone who was, they called, a sinner. Because it says right here, his neighbors, when they saw this, that Jesus went to his house, all the people saw this and began to mutter, "He is going to be the guest of a sinner! We know that guy! That guy is a sinner!" Not just a tax collector, but we know he's been doing bad stuff. Well, his bad stuff got him into some wealth, too. And it says he was a wealthy position. That was where he was at. You know, a very comfortable, people try to get to, I'm living very comfortably now. I'm in a good place. And what they're saying is that my finances are okay, everything, no bills, no pressing bills or anything, I'm okay. And he was in a wealthy position, but wealth can't bring happiness, although it can distract us from unhappiness sometimes pretty well. I mean, people that are in poverty are always thinking, how can I get out, how can I get out? But the person who is in wealth is not happy, but is distracted many times so that they're not too concerned about their unhappiness. Well, an American author named Richard Burton, it's not the actor, it's the American Richard E. Burton, said this, "Those whose minds feed upon riches recede in general from real happiness in proportion as their stores increase, as the moon, when she is fullest of light, is farthest from the sun." And I thought about that. What do you mean? Well, when you see a full moon, it's on the other side of the earth, away from the sun, and then you see it full. Right? And when it's this way, you see parts of it closer to the sun. Well, the rich person, when he's fullest, is farthest away from the light. And this is something about Zacchaeus I'm thinking about that shows he was not happy about his wealth because he was interested in this Jewish rabbi. And a Jewish rabbi was a moral teacher. So he knew he was a moral teacher. So was it curiosity? Was it curiosity that is why he wanted to see who Jesus was? Was that what it was, curiosity? Or was he morally unhappy? Was he morally unhappy and he wanted to get closer to the moral sunlight that was shining in Jesus? Was that what he was doing? I think it was that, not curiosity. I think this guy was, he was wealthy, but he was unhappy. Now, he also, where was he at? He was also in a short body. He might have felt, as he was growing up, that people were always looking down on him. You know, that's basically it. I'm always having to look up to everybody else, and everybody's looking down at me. That can happen to people who are short sometimes. Well, body image. I've studied a lot about body image. And body image is about how people perceive their body and how they think that other people perceive their body. And there's a lot that has to do in fashion and design and bodybuilding and breast reduction and breast augmentation and all these kinds of ways and dieting and different things like that because of body image, this pressure of how do people look at my body. Well, Zacchaeus may have had a little bit of this problem of being short, and he wanted to grow in stature, maybe in another way. And by becoming a tax collector, he could actually, maybe not for the wealth, but maybe it was a desperate attempt to raise his stature socially, even though it's more or less like an attention-starved child. They will go outside the boundaries that are permitted, or the boundaries of behavior that are acceptable. Even they want to get out of that to get attention, even though they get into trouble. Well, he got into trouble for losing his reputation totally as being a tax collector, although now he had power and control to talk to these people that always look down on you and say, "Hey, you're going to pay this much." You know? Can you identify with Zacchaeus? That's the important point. Have you ever been on the outside of the in group? You know, you've still been left to the outside. You just can't get in that in group. Have you discovered that neither quantity or quality of your possessions really make you happy? Really. They sort of give you a little joy when you get them, but the possessions don't really make you happy. Or have you felt yourself unrecognized, unappreciated, because your special or your social stature is not elevated in the eyes of certain people? And the way that people, or that's why you thought people looked at you. Well, God knows where all of us are at. He knows if we're in those situations, and He knows where we need to get to be. Now, where does Zacchaeus need to be? That's the point. Where did he need to be? Well, he needed to be converted. He needed to be converted. And he was on the way there. And these were some of the signs that he was getting ready for conversion. First of all, he had a desire to find out who Jesus is. And you know something? That is the first step that people who are on their way to conversion, they need to find out who Jesus is. John 7:17, Jesus defined eternal life. He said, "Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." You see, it's knowing God. It's getting to know God, and it's getting to know Jesus Christ, because He's the one that reveals God to us. Another sign that he was getting ready for conversion was that he was starting to disregard what the crowd was doing. He didn't care about the crowd. He wanted to get ahead of the crowd. And you know something? Many times, we let the crowd, we let the people around us influence our spiritual life. How far are we willing to go with God? How far are we willing to go and be faithful with God? And if we go too far, the crowd will say, "Look at you, what are you doing?" You know? You need to get beyond that. And Zacchaeus did. He did not let the crowd stop him in his desire to find out about this Jesus. There's a story that goes hand in hand with the King James Version of this translation, because in the King James Version it calls it the crowd or the press. The press. And there was a little boy who was studying his Sunday school lesson, and he came to a part and said these words. He sought to see Jesus. This is from this passage. He sought to see Jesus and could not for the press. And he said, "Oh, Daddy, is that why you can't love Jesus? Because you are in the press?" And this struck his father's words, because his father was a newspaper printer. And it struck him so much that he began to evaluate his spiritual life and became a Christian. And there, in that press room, he often prayed. He found the Lord right in the press. But Zacchaeus was up in a tree. He had run ahead of the crowd. He had seen where the crowd was at around Jesus, and he knew he couldn't get to Jesus for the crowd. So he ran there. He ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him. And that's where Jesus found him. That's where Jesus. He was trying to find Jesus, but sort of in a hidden way. Jesus knew where Zacchaeus needed to be. And as soon as he found him, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. Come down immediately." Now, we can be close to being converted. We can be close to the conviction that brings our Christian lives just a little next step on without really being converted, without really taking that step. We can inquire, "I want to know more about Jesus," without really getting to know him. And if you don't know him as your Savior, you might know lots about him, but you need to know him personally as your Savior. Or we can run into the deal and with lots of enthusiasm, lots of excitement, and run ahead of the crowd and get ahead of them, or get ahead of the popular current of thought today. Because sometimes it's the thought that's popular that keeps us back, so that we can get a safe view of God. Now, I say safe, because when Zacchaeus climbed up in that tree, he was, in a sense, hiding. A sycamore fig tree has big leaves. He could actually maybe take a view of Jesus without really being seen. Sort of like Adam and Eve, hiding in the bushes, you know, from God, as God was walking in the garden. Well, God knows where we are at. In our Christian lives or in our lives that are not yet Christian, He wants to get us to where we need to be. And he was telling this short man who had tried to elevate his stature as becoming a tax collector, and because he was short, he tried to see Jesus in a sort of a hidden way. He got caught. And Zacchaeus, come down immediately. Well, how was Zacchaeus really converted? In what Jesus said to him, Zacchaeus saw some things. He recognized, as C.S. Lewis had said earlier, he recognized the intervention of the supernatural. Something supernatural happened that day. First of all, he knew where he was at. He was trying to hide in the tree. And usually when people are walking with the crowd around, they're concerned with the crowd and the noise around them. But when Jesus was under that tree, and probably there were other trees there, he looked up. Because he knew something about this guy up there. He knew he was hiding up there, even in the midst of the crowd and the noise. And he called him by name. You know, God is very personal with us. He deals with us on an individual basis. It's not that, hey, sinner, come on in. That's not how God addresses us. He addresses us personally. He addresses Zacchaeus by name. And he spoke with supernatural authority. Here's what he said. Zacchaeus, come down immediately. Come down immediately. And in obedience, Zacchaeus, it says, came down at once. Zacchaeus was responding. This was his conversion. He was responding to the heart of God. He was responding to the heart of God. Like all of us, Zacchaeus needed acceptance. He needed to be felt like he was part of something, part of the group, that he was loved, that he was accepted. But what he really needed, and this is what God knew that he needed, what he really needed was to realize that God knows him personally, and that God cared about him personally. That's what we really need. We often seek acceptance in groups and with people, and once we've got the acceptance, that's not what our real need is. Our real need, the need of the human heart, is to know that God knows you, and that God cares about you personally. And he responded to that. He realized that because God said to him, or Jesus said to him, I must stay at your house today. That was a supernatural statement. Jesus was speaking what his Father wanted him to speak. He always did. And he said, I must stay at your house today, Zacchaeus. Whenever that happens, we have a choice. We then say, sorry, my house is not ready. It's not tidy. I've got some things in it that I don't want you to see. I got to go home. Maybe tomorrow. I have to take a rain check on that, Lord. I must stay in your house today. And salvation comes to us. And many times our choices in our Christian growth come to us in a crisis experience where we must choose one way or another. We must just do it. And it says in here that he welcomes him gladly. You know, this is so similar to Jesus standing at the door in Revelation 3:20. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. That's what Jesus is saying to Zacchaeus. I need to go to your house today. I stay at your house today. And the response that Jesus speaks when he knocks like that is the same one that Zacchaeus has. The response of, he says he welcomes him gladly. Zacchaeus' life was reversed. His life, conversion reversed his life, his way of life. He knew that he was a sinner, and the people knew that he was a sinner. In fact, that was his fame. That was his claim to fame. He was a sinner. That's what they called him. But Zacchaeus in verse 8 says, stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here I now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. What is that called? You know what that's called? I had to ask Rosemary because I thought I had a little memory lapse. It's restitution. It's called restitution. When you give back what you have taken away from somebody. Well, restitution is not a work for salvation. Restitution is not what makes you get saved. Restitution is a fruit of salvation. And Jesus validates this when he says, today salvation has come to this house. He hadn't even done the restitution yet. It was an attitude, it was his intention, but he hadn't done it yet. It was the state of his heart. It was the state of his heart. And even before he could have given anything to the poor, or given back anything to the people he had taken from, he had the attitude, as Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house. It was the response of his heart. And the conversion of Zacchaeus is like everyone's conversion. And it really is this thing of faith. The conversion of Zacchaeus came when he had welcomed Jesus by faith into his home, into his life, into his heart, by faith. And Jesus, again, validates that it's by faith, because he says, because this man, too, said Jesus, is a son of Abraham. There were times where he had told the Jews to their face, your father is not Abraham, because Abraham believed. And in Galatians 3:7, understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. When he called him a son of Abraham, he was saying because of his faith, he believed. Yeah, the restitution, go ahead and do it, because that's what salvation does. It changes your life, it turns you around. But the salvation comes when you believe and you welcome Christ into your heart. So conversion is a turning around. It's a reversal. It's a reversal in many ways that we're going, and God knows where we're at, and he knows where we need to be. And he shows up. He shows up. He calls us personally by name. And he says, come down face to face with me. Come down face to face with me. I must be in your life, in this part of your life. Maybe you have a part of your life that you just sort of hold back from God. He puts his finger on it and says, I must be in your house, that part of your house. Not just the dining room. I want to go into the bedroom. I want to go into the closet where you're keeping all that stuff. I want to see your house, your whole house. And our whole life is like that. And whether it's we need salvation, or whether it's we need a conversion experience in part of our life as a Christian to get us on to the next place where God wants us to be, God knows where we're at. And he knows where we need to be. And so his Holy Spirit will show up, and he'll say to us, come down. I must be at your house today. Let's be the people that always, when we hear that call, say, I welcome you gladly, Lord, into my life. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your wonderful call to us to come down off of the things that we've elevated ourselves into, to try to impress people or what, so that we can be on a level with you and see you face to face and go with you and bring you into our hearts to eat with you and sup with you and be with us and have that fellowship we need. Father God, thank you for this passage, and thank you for the conversion of Zacchaeus, and thank you that salvation comes not because we can carry out every desire that we have to do in the Christian life, but Lord, by faith and our intention of following you and welcoming you into our life. We thank you, we praise you, we ask, Lord, that you would help others that we know that need conversion to have this experience too. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.